we are discussing today, we're going back on what we did last week a little bit, because it's such an important tefillah, it's such an important topic of prayer. And we're discussing the Ramban, in the Gerit HaRamban. And Ramban tells us, Haser kol divrei ha'olam melibcha. Remove all matters to do with this world from your mind when you pray. And we have a big question on this. And prepare your heart in the presence of the Holy One. So we have a question on this Ramban. So before we talk about the Ramban, the question of the Ramban, here we have a Rama which follows this Ramban over here. So this Rama is in Or HaChaim. It's in Siman Sadi Chet, in chapter 98 of Or HaChaim in Shulchan Aruch. And the Rama over here says three things. Number one, before one begins to pray, meditate upon the lowliness of a person and the greatness of Hashem. I'm giving you numbers because I want you to write this down and remember. This is very, very important class. These are all tips. And I'm trying to remember myself all these tips. These are very important tips. There's paper over there. There's pens over there. You can write down. You can have your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it is. It's important to take notes. And if you can't take notes now, you can repeat it on Torah anytime and see the class and write down. Take notes. It's very, very critical. This is a very important topic. Before you pray, number one, think about how great Hashem is and how low we are. Before you go back, forward three steps. In fact, we're going back three steps from the Ben Ish Chai says, why are we going back three steps? Because all the Jews at Mount Sinai ran away 3 mil. They ran 3 mil away from God. They were so scared, terrified. Because they realized how great Hashem is. They ran away. And then slowly they gathered their wits together and came back. We realize how low we are and how great Hashem is. So before you even go forward three steps, the person's got to realize Hashem is great. And that's really why I'm coming to Hashem. Why am I coming to Hashem? Why do I need to pray to Hashem? And the answer is because He's greater than me. I need a favor from someone greater than me. I can't do it myself. I just can't do it myself. So a person's got to meditate upon the greatness of Hashem and one's own lowliness. How low I am, how I can't do everything myself. I can't, honestly. How does a human being manage in this world? So many human beings today cannot manage. They can't manage physically. They can't manage spiritually. They can't manage emotionally. Just can't manage. We need God so much. A person needs God so much. That's what we have to think about before we pray. I need Hashem so much. I am so small. Hashem is so big. Hashem, I can't do without you, Hashem. That's number one. Number two, and this is the question we're going to have. We're going to have to discuss. Let him pluck. This is exactly what Ramban is saying. Pluck from your heart your yearning for the mundane pleasures of this world. Before you pray, don't think about your lunch and your dinner and your breakfast and your mundane pleasures. It's very hard to think about mundane pleasures when a person's praying. Why? Because you pray mincha before lunchtime, ideally. A person prays arvit before dinner and he's hungry. So you got to pluck the mundane thoughts from the mind when you're praying. Can't think about going to grocery, I'm going to buy this, it's mundane. Well, how do you do that? So let's discuss that. There's a high level, much higher level. Number three, it is prohibited to focus on love for anything else in the synagogue. It means a father can't kiss his child, you can't kiss a child that's passing by, you cannot show love for anyone else in the synagogue except for God. Hashem is the key. Hashem is meant to be the focal point of the shul. And this way, you're in shul, you're in a holy place. Love has to be shown only to God, or through to God's Torah, of course. God's Torah. So let's go recap those three, very important three things. Number one is think of your own loneliness and Hashem's greatness before you pray. Number two is try and remove mundane thoughts from your mind. Number three is don't focus on any other kind of love. When you're praying to God, it's focus about Hashem. Focus on love and Hashem. So the question we had is, how can Ramban tell his son to cast your worldly matters from your head when you pray? That's our question, right? Prayer is all about worldly things. I want food, I want clothing, I want shelter. As Yaakov Avinu says, Lechem lechol beg le bosh. I want money, I want this. I want everything. It's physical. So how can you forget about the physical things? So we have a beautiful answer over here. So Rama says, pluck your yearning for the mundane pleasures of the world. He's not saying, pluck yourself more material pursuits. Mundane pleasures of the world. We want Hashem to give us the material benefits to serve Him. I don't want the material pleasures just for myself. That's the answer. I'm not praying for material pleasures for me to satisfy my desires. I'm praying for material pleasures so I can serve Hashem better. That's what it means. Pluck mundane pleasures from your mind means, if I'm thinking about food just for the sake of enjoying the food, that's mundane pleasure. If I'm thinking of food because I want to serve God, I want to be strong to serve Hashem, that's very good. When a person prays for money, I need the money to serve you, Hashem. When a person prays for health, I need the health to serve you, Hashem. I'm praying for whatever it is, I'm praying for security, I need security to serve you, Hashem. So this way, it's not mundane anymore. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Ramban is saying. Number four, the true purpose of prayer is to increase Hashem's influence in the world. It's a very, very important point, which is very easily overlooked. Because when we're praying to God, we're showing that God is in charge. And when people see Jews going to synagogue, what are they doing in synagogue? Someone asks you, what are you doing in synagogue? We're praying. Well, who are you praying? What's going on? We're praying to God. Why are you praying to God? Because God is the answer. He's the address. He's the address for all our needs. He's the address. And therefore, He is the biggest power there is in the world. And therefore, we are giving God influence. It's a Kiddush Hashem. When people see you, a Jew praying to God, it's a Kiddush Hashem. Why? They'll say, oh, he knows who to go to. He knows there's an address to go to. It's very important to know the address and spread the idea in the world that Hashem is the address. Hashem's influence should permeate the world. So Hashem is number five. Is Hashem has the power to provide for the whole world. Hashem has the power. There's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says in Avraham Avinu, and at the beginning of chapter 17 of Bereshit, he says, Avraham Avinu says, Anochi El Shaddai. I am the God of Shin Dalet Yud, which we put on our mezuzah. What does Shin Dalet Yud stand for? There's many different explanations, obviously. Rashi gives an amazing explanation over there. I have in me enough. Dai comes to the word Dai Dayenu. We sing on Pesach, right? Dayenu, enough. There's enough of me as God to serve all humanity. Imagine. If God is limited, and there's 7 billion people, each one says, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. God is limited. How can He give him this? Hashem says, I am unlimited. You know, it's like today, you know, you build a company, corporations, limited liability. Hashem is unlimited. It's ULC. Okay? Unlimited liability company. Hashem, unlimited. What does that mean? There's enough of me to go around for everyone. Hashem says, I am big enough for everyone. I'm a God which is big enough. Infinite. That's infinite. Infinite means I can look after 7 billion people at the same time. Imagine. You know, there's a joke that says like this. There's a guy who wanted to pray to God for $1 million. And he sees over there a guy in front of the ark. So he wants to pray for the ark. The guy opened the ark. He's praying, Hashem, please give me $100. Please, Hashem, give me $100. This guy wants to pay. He wants $1 million. So what does he do? He takes $100 out from his pocket. He says, here, guy, take the $100 and I go. Let me go. That's my turn. So David HaMelech says, when you pray to God, and this is also the tip. What number is this? When you pray to God, Harchev piha v'malehu, open your mouth wide. God is not limited. It's a very, very important idea. We limit our prayers. You know, we have our small, mundane needs. Don't limit your prayers to small, mundane needs. Think about pray for Israel. Pray for big things. Pray for Mashiach. Pray for big things. Don't pray for small things. You know, if we were just... That's why the rabbis had to write our prayers for us. Because we don't know how to pray. So God is the address. God is unlimited. Number seven. And this is amazing. That use the tefillah as a springboard to push yourself higher. Because really the truth is, when the person's praying, you're climbing a spiritual ladder. This is the ladder of Jacob, Jacob's ladder. He saw a ladder going to heaven. What is this ladder to heaven? Who makes the ladder to heaven? And the answer is, when we're praying, we're trying to reach God. We're building a ladder to reach Hashem. We're trying to build a ladder to reach God. So we have to use our tefillah as a springboard to reach Hashem, to build that ladder to Hashem. To try and connect, we're trying to connect ourselves to Hashem, which is hard to do, but when a person is praying, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a bridge, we're trying to build a ladder, trying to reach God. God, I'm trying to reach you, I'm trying to reach out to you. And it's very hard when you don't really need something, but when you need something, you need that build, that bridge, you really feel like you're building a connection. So a person's getting genuine prayer. That's what genuine prayer is. A person is trying to build a connection to Hashem. Very, very powerful way to grow spiritually. That's why prayer is one of the things to get a person to Olam Haba. It gets a person to the next world. We're going to talk about the students asked Rabbi Eliezer, how do we get to Olam Haba? He says, if you pray with Kavanah, you get to Olam Haba. Why? Because when you're praying with the right intentions, you're trying to build a bridge to Hashem. You're trying to build a ladder to Hashem. You're trying to link to Hashem. By linking to Hashem, you are climbing spiritually. So a person can be linking to Hashem all the time. A person can be saying, Hashem, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help. You're a driver, you're driving down the road. I tell you, it's so dangerous today. You're driving anywhere you're driving. Israel especially. It's so dangerous anywhere you drive. Pray to Hashem, pray to Hashem. You don't know. Some idiot may come out of the side road, bang. It's impossible. You're walking down the street. You know. So I'm trying to cross the road over here. It's a green light for the pedestrians. The guy's turning left, bang. And he's looking at me like I'm an idiot. What about you? You're the idiot. I got green, you got yellow. You watch out. No? Who's responsible? I'm at the crosswalk. It's a green for the crosswalk. The guy's making a left turn. I ride away and he's looking at me like I'm lunatic. So you got to pray to God all the time. Every time we need to pray, Hashem. Save us, save us, save us, save us, save us. But that links us to Hashem. Because when you're saying, Hashem, save me, you're linking to Hashem. We link to Hashem by praying to Hashem. Number 8. Hashem is the creator. We are Hashem's creatures. Just like you go to your parents for a favor, you go to Hashem for a favor. Hashem is your creator. This is a beautiful Ramban over here. This Ramban is on his commentary in Shemot, in Exodus. We're going to learn next couple of weeks, chapter 13. And over here he says amazing. Look at what he says over here. The intent of all the commandments. What is the bottom line of all the commandments? What does God want from us? Why he tell us, do this and do this and do this. And keep Shabbat, keep Kashrut, keep this, keep that, do this. We acquire a firm belief in Hashem. That's number one, is when I do it, why am I doing it? Why do I do all these things? And the answer is because I believe God wants. God is there. I believe in a God. If I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't do this. Obviously, I wouldn't do this. Especially people making fun of me, mockery. It costs more money. It costs this. Time, extra. You need investment. Obviously, I believe in God. So every time I do something for God, it shows I believe in Him more. I'm proving to Him my commitment. And this is the very purpose of creation, the Ramban says. That what? Hashem asks of man to recognize Him as His creator. That's it. Every time you build a shul for God, you're showing that God is the creator. Every time you pray to God, you're showing God is my creator. So this is the bottom line of all the commandments is, Hashem, you are our creator. So that's why one of the most powerful prayers Rabbi Akiva invented was, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, because that's our mission in the world, is to recognize God as the Master of the Universe, the creator of everything. Okay, number 9. Number 9 is the transformation. When a person prays, we've got to transform ourselves. So before we pray, a person's alone, weak. I don't know, I'm still thinking about how Jews survived for 2,000 years. I don't know. We're weak. We're killed, persecuted, tortured. How do we survive? You walk down an alley and you don't know if you're going to survive walking down an alley. I'm telling you, it's like easy game. Until today, in certain neighborhoods in Europe, it's anti-Semites. There's such anti-Semites. You're a Jew, so you're ready to beat a guy and hit him. You're a keeper, forget it. So you're finished. Have you heard about the story about there's an Arab in Israel, Israeli Arab. He just wanted to find out what it's like to wear a keeper in Germany. He was in Berlin. You heard this? Didn't hear that story? He was attacked. They beat him with his belt. Some guy came and hit him with his belt. It happened to be a Syrian Arab, who was a refugee, so-called refugee. It was caught on video and made a big outcry over there. And then he found out the guy wasn't even Jewish. He was just wearing a kippah. Just to find out what it's like. Well, he found out what it's like to be wearing a kippah. I got beaten up twice in London. So, it's not pleasant. And once I was with my family, I went to visit the museum. A big museum in England. Very large, big museum. Very people around. We're sitting outside. We brought our little lunch. And a guy comes to me. Obviously, he's reeking of alcohol. He's reeking of alcohol. Jews. I didn't do anything to anyone. They call me. So you can see the disgust on his face. The Jews. And that's prevalent European anti-Semitism. It's very old. They can't get out of their blood. It's in their blood already. 2,000 years of anti-Semitism. So we have to realize when we pray, We transform ourselves from being alone and frightened into we have God on our side. How did David fight Goliath? Because he says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. How does Israel stand mighty with all those armies around them? I don't know. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle. And the answer is because we know we have God on our side. If God is not there, we'd be finished. It's a miracle of Jewish survival. How do we survive? There's another way to explain it. It's one of the biggest proofs that God exists, is that we have survived. Not just we survived, we came back. Came back from the dead, from the brink of extinction in the Holocaust. Came back from the brink of extinction. Okay. So we said the first thing to do is to realize how helpless we are, how great God is. How do you realize how helpless we are and how God... So one of the ideas is, when you're asking God for something, it's like a beggar going to someone who has wealth and saying, please give me, can you help me? So we don't really realize that, we don't think of it. The truth is, when we pray to God, we're asking God, you know, I'm coming to God, please give me, I don't deserve anything. Please give. Because you're God and I'm your creature, and just give. Just like you support the animals, support me. Just like you support the rats and the cats and the grass and the trees. Support me as well. I'm also your creature. So it's a very big step down. It's a bit of humility. A person needs humility. That's the beginning of prayer. Without humility, a person will never pray. A person who doesn't need God. And that was the curse of the snake, we said. Why did God curse the snake? Everywhere you go, your food is there. Eat the sand. Eat the sand. Don't come back to me, God says. Eat the food. Your food is there. I don't want a connection with you. Those he wants connection with, the forefathers couldn't have children. Right? Sarah couldn't have children. Rivka couldn't have children. Rachel couldn't have children. Hashem wants that connection. Hashem wants a connection with someone. So that's why he gives them a need. A person's sick. Hashem says, I want to hear from you. I haven't heard from you for a long time. So he says, you know what? I am not well. You know what that means? That means I have an opportunity now to link to Hashem that no one else has. I can really cry out to Hashem. So it's a very big... It's an advantage in a sense. Hashem is knocking on your door saying, I want to hear from you. I didn't hear from you for a long time. So the danger is a person has everything, they don't realize they're missing the yearning to communicate to Hashem. So the Rambam made it a mitzvah. Whether you need Hashem or not, just pray. Everyone needs Hashem. Everyone needs to connect to Hashem. So that's also a need. You know, it's interesting today, I was talking about this morning about this new thing about social parts. Social drugs, huh? Recreational drugs. Recreational drugs. What does that mean? Recreational drugs. Huh? It's not illegal. I'm talking about it's going to be illegal. They're going to make it legal in New Jersey. They're going to make it illegal in New York. Pot. Recreational drugs. It's already illegal medically. If I went to a doctor for my stomach, he says, "I know why you came to me." I said, "Why?" Because I can prescribe medical marijuana. I said, I never heard of it. No, I'm not taking marijuana. He thought I was crazy. I said, why do you come to me then? Because you're a GI. I thought, I'm going to GI. I'm going to medical marijuana. But today it's available. It's available. As soon as it's going to be legal, so you can go to the store. You feel down a little bit. You can almost smoke a little bit. Get a little high. So what is happening is today, people are very unhappy. They don't know how to make themselves happy. So how do you make themselves happy? They have to go high. Drink. Drugs. What else? I'm not going to say anything else, but you know, next day. Food. Food. Halavai food. Wine. A little bit of wine. Make yourself happy. They don't realize the secret to happiness. There's two secrets to happiness. They're both spiritual. One of them is connecting with Hashem. Connecting to Hashem makes a person happy. Learning Torah makes a person happy. That's why we're on the saddest day of the Jewish calendar. We're not allowed to learn Torah. It's the only day of the year you're not allowed to learn Torah. Interesting. Someone told me this morning that there's a Ashkenazi custom not learning Torah on Christmas night. You know that? Little Nacht, which is the night on which whatever. Because it was dangerous for people to go out to the Beit Midrash. They would get killed. If a Jew was caught on the street, they'd kill the Jew on the street on that night because they were going to the churches for Mass. They see a Jew and they kill him. So therefore, women would not go to the mikvah that night. Men would not go to the Beit Midrash. And it became like an Ashkenazi custom not to learn Torah that night. Like, we're on strike, Hashem. Look what they're doing to us. We're on strike, we're not going to learn Torah. I don't know if I've had any reaction in the worlds above. I don't know. But Sfarim never affected them. Sfarim, we learned Torah. Maybe we should learn more Torah that night. But we can't go to the Beit Midrash. You weren't allowed to. Today we're allowed to. Baruch Hashem. So we have this discussion. And Raman says you got to pray every day. But people don't realize when you pray, it elevates you. Spirituality gives you the happiness. If there's no spirituality, there's no happiness. That's number one. Number two is love. People today are missing love. The parents don't love the children. They don't have time for their kids. The kids don't have time for their parents. They don't love their parents. The brothers and sisters fight. They don't love each other. And plus, most people don't have brothers and sisters because the family is limited to one sibling. That's it. So there's no love. There's no attention from anyone because you're on the, whatever, all these devices. You don't get face-to-face attention from anyone. No one cares about you, really. People feel alone. People feel really alone. They feel depressed. That's what they do. So now, money can't buy you love. But money can buy me drugs. Money can buy me alcohol. Money can buy me things that make me happy. So that's what people are turning to. But they don't realize happiness is giving. People don't realize. And you ask any Jewish mother will tell you, happiness is seeing my child eat. That's how you get happy. How do you get happy? By giving to kids, giving to your children, giving to your family, giving to volunteering. People don't realize how much happiness there is. And it's also one of the secrets of long life. People who volunteer, well-known studies. People volunteer when they're older and they have nothing to do. They're retired, semi-retired. Volunteer and you'll see you have purpose in life. Purpose makes a person happy. So a person's got to find what the purpose is. What is your purpose in life? Serving Hashem is also a purpose. People don't realize that. You get up in the morning, nothing more satisfying. You know, they have to get up tomorrow. People don't have, they don't have to get up. They don't get up. Stay in bed. There's no purpose. So there is a purpose. So how does a person elevate themselves spiritually? And the answer is, it's a two-way street. If you're spiritual, you're happy. And when you're happy, you're spiritual. What comes first? The happiness or the spirituality? And the answer is, happiness is outflows of spirituality. The spirituality brings happiness. And that's how you can measure someone's spirituality. We can measure our own spirituality. How happy are you? Are you happy? Okay. Well, you're spiritually, like that. Because the happiest people are the most spiritually active people. They're the happiest people. Always happy, always smiling. It's a very big power to always be smiling. And it's one of the attributes of Shammai of all people. Shammai says, Heve mekabel et kol adam b'sever panim yafot. Always receive a person with a good countenance, a cheerful countenance, a nice countenance. And Rav Miller would say, Sever is empathize. Panim is show your face. Yafot is show a nice face. So it's good to smile. And that's what's lacking today. People don't smile enough. It's very important to smile, be happy. And because happiness is a symbol of spiritual height. It's a symbol of spiritual height. Okay. Let's move on. This is really the hardest one. And this is number 10. Altering one's destiny. Prayers can alter one's destiny. Imagine. We believe that if you pray for something, Hashem will change the whole world to give you what you want. We believe that prayer can change destiny. A person's got to believe in this, otherwise, why pray? Hashem's going to do it anyway. And the answer is, we believe prayers make a difference. And prayers can alter a person's destiny. There's a book called Sefer HaIkarim by the Rabbi Yosef Albo, a very famous Spanish rabbi. How does a person dare to approach Hashem in prayer? To ask him to change his decrees. Obviously Hashem knows what's good for the person. So Hashem, you know what's good for me. Why am I going to ask you what to change? You think it's time for me to go? I don't want to go now. So please change your decree. But doesn't Hashem know what's good for me? So why am I asking Hashem? It's a chutzpah to ask Hashem to change the decree. In fact, that's one of the reasons why Noach never prayed. Why did Noach never pray? Why should I pray? God knows what he's doing. Well, I'm going to tell God to change his mind. So the answer is, you're right. You're asking God to change his mind. Because why? And how can you persuade God to change your mind? Because God's decree is aimed at you as a certain person. But if you grow as a person, the decree is not going to affect you. when a person prays, that means they're growing as a person. Why? How are they growing as a person when you pray? And the answer is, you're having more faith in God. I show I have faith in God. I show that God is my creator. God is my boss. If I show God as my boss and I show God as my creator and I show God is greater than me, I've grown as an individual. If I'm grown, that decree doesn't apply to the old me. Because I'm a new me now. By praying, we become a new me. It's not like you're changing God's will. You're just saying God's will doesn't apply to me right now. I'm a different me. How am I a different me? I've grown. How have I grown? My emunah, my faith in you has grown through prayer. Through prayer, our faith grows. So prayer can change a person, and by changing the person, we change our destiny. Now we come to the hardest part of prayer. This is number 11. And the answer is, what's number 11? Number 11 is, words are cheap. Words are cheap. A person prays with their words, but the heart is the main thing. The heart's got to be inside the words. The prayer, the words are just the shell, just the packaging. The word teva in Hebrew means a box. They put Moshe in a teva. They put Noah built a teva. Built a box. That's a word in Hebrew. The inside of the word is the meaning. That meaning has to be there. For successful prayer, the meditation of the heart is the main thing. It's the prayers we pray every time. Pray. They're just words. But a person whose mind wanders, the words are just empty. So the Chobot HaLevavot says, this famous parable, a person who prays just words is compared to a servant. The king says, I'm going to come and meet you. I'm going to see you on the 25th of January at 4 p.m. Be ready. I'm coming to your house, the king says. And the guy says, I'm not going to be there, but I'll tell my kids to get ready for it. He makes a beautiful party, and the kids are there, and the king says, where is this man? I told him I'm coming on the 25th. He says, he couldn't make it. He put us in charge. He's going to go mad. The king's going to go berserk. I told him I'm coming. He's meant to receive me, and he didn't come to receive me. He said the same thing. A person prays to God. God says, I'm coming to hear you. But the guy's not there. His mind is elsewhere. So it's very important to put one's mind in the tefillah. And it's so hard to do it. And that's why at least in the first paragraph. So it's very, very important to ponder the words of prayer. This is number 12. The Ramban, I just want to read you the Ramban says, Chashov hadibur kodesh tosiyu b'bichah. Think about what you're going to say. So it's good. Before you start a paragraph of the Shemoneh Esrei, think about what you're going to say. What is this about? Very, very important. Very, very critical. In fact, I don't know why they didn't put this in the English intro. Intro to the paragraph. Is it an article?
An article,
yes. Yeah, beautiful. The article is one step ahead. Intro to the paragraph. What is this paragraph about? It's about redemption. It's about... We should go through it already. We should really go through the tefillah and see exactly what we're praying for. It's interesting because we start off with saying, you know, Hashem, you are the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. We're introducing ourselves to God. We are the believers in the same chain of tradition. We are related to your beloved Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Just like you love them, love us as well. Just like you help them, help us as well. We believe in you. Number two is we believe that God has the power. And we praise God for the power of He can heal the sick. He can even revive the dead. And number three, we believe that God is the God of purity and holiness. So the question is, what's the order? What's going on over here? What's the order going to do with anything? We talked about yesterday the death of Nadav and Avihu. Remember? Nadav and Avihu. They were the sons of Aaron. And the parasha is called Acharei Mot. And the next one is called Emor, Kedoshim and Emor. So Nadav and Avihu, after death there is purity. And that's the order. So first we believe in God, we talk about God's greatness and revival of the dead, and then after that is purity. So there's a connection to purity and death and revival of the dead. For sure, revival of the dead needs to purity, because then you have day of judgment and other things. But the first thing we ask for in the middle intermediate things is the least important thing in people's eyes, and that is wisdom. We ask for being wise. We ask for Chokhmah bin Adat. We ask for wisdom. People forget to ask for wisdom. Hashem, I want wisdom. I want to know how to conduct my life in the best possible way in your eyes. I want to be close to you and I want to get to you. I want to know what my purpose is in the world and I want to reach my purpose in this world. We don't want to come back and go through this again. Okay? We want to fix ourselves first time around. We want to pass the test the first time around. We're going to go back and take the test again. This world is a test. It's an exam hall. Hard to think about it, right? It's an exam hall for all of us, for all human beings. So how you do in this exam hall, that's what you, how you graduate from the exam hall. And some people graduate, and some people just, you know, it depends. Sometimes you want to do better, so you come back to do better. You may graduate, but you scrape through. So you want to take a test again? You want to take your bachelor's degree again? Take the test again? Or you want to just scrape through, and or sometimes you just fail, you have to take a test again anyway. So the Ramban says, before you say the words, think about what you're going to say. And then your prayer will be pure and clear, sincere and pleasing to God. So prepare your heart to concentrate, and then you'll be attentive to your prayer. And that's called tefillah zakah, a pure prayer. When you think about what you're going to pray, then your mind is in it, and then your prayer will be pure. And he's alluding to the words of the Midrash. The Midrash says, Job, he says, no injustice is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. You know, this is also Tehillim. Psalm 24. You say every Sunday morning, by the way. What does the psalm say? Mi alei b'har Hashem, who will arise on the mountain of God? Mi avam kong kisho, who will stand in his holy place? Niki kapayim, person with clean hands and a pure heart. So we find that pure heart is linked to pure hands, clean hands. What are clean hands? Honesty. How does a person have their prayer pure? And the answer is they're honest people. Then their prayers will be answered. So honesty is also another key. What number is this? 12. Number 12 is honesty. A person is honest. Hashem deals with their prayer. It's a totally different prayer. It's a prayer of an honest person. So a person's prayer should be pure. How can you make your prayer pure? And the answer is, a person didn't steal, their prayer is pure. So stealing is really, we said before that stealing was the cause of the flood. Remember that? Atimalei Aretz Chamas was like the final, Rashi says, the final hammer blow that caused the destruction of the world. So stealing removes, why? Stealing removes the purity of a person. Okay, let's go back to our debate. There's a halakhic dispute. So we had 12 hints to, 12 things to work on when we pray. 12 parts to successful prayer. 12 parts to successful prayer. There's a halakhic dispute regarding the obligation to pray. Rambam says, Sefer Mitzvah, Mitzvah number 5. Can you get me, Sefer Mitzvah? Mitzvah number 5. There's a biblical command to pray to God every single day. Va'avadatem et Hashem Elokachem. And you will serve the Lord your God. What is service of God? Service of God is prayer. Why is prayer work? And the answer is because to focus the mind, you need to work. That's work. Work is focus of the mind. Work is, thank you. Work is prayer. What goes into prayer is solid labor, the labor of the mind. So mitzvah number 5, I just want to read it to you very quickly. Rambam says, the mitzvah is to serve God. And this mitzvah appears in a few places in the Torah, even in the Shema. You will serve Him with all your heart. Even though there's a general category of command, because it says serve God, you can serve God in many different ways. The rabbis explained, one of them is prayer. Okay? As the Sifri says, Olavdo ze tefillah. This is prayer. And Olavdo ze Talmud, or prayer, or serving in God is through learning. Different opinions over there. And the main explanation, Rabbi Yossi Glili says, Minayim le'ikar tefillah mitzvah. How do we know prayer is a mitzvah? From here. Et Hashem elokech tirah v'oto tavod. Fear God and serve Him. So service of God is prayer. So that is the Rambam, mitzvah number 5. The Ramban, I want to read you this Ramban. Ramban explains and he argues the Ramban. Okay. So he says this drasha from the, he says, not very good drasha, it's more asmachta. There's no mitzvah to pray over here. But the mitzvah is when there's no rain or when a person is attacked. Okay. says ki yitzel, the enemy is attacking and surrounding the city. That's when there's a mitzvah to pray. Okay, when you're in trouble, that's where the mitzvah to pray. It's a whole big discussion we talked about last week between the Rambam and the Ramban. We follow Rambam. The mitzvah to pray is every day. Ramban says only when you're in difficulties, when times are tough, that's when there's a mitzvah to pray. Anyway, either way, it's a mitzvah from the rabbis to pray every day, or it's a mitzvah from the Torah to pray every day. It's a mitzvah to pray. We pray every day, three times a day. So Ramban says something very interesting. It's not a mitzvah to pray unless you need to pray, which means it's very hard to focus your mind. So Rambam says, that is no service. That's what service of the heart means. Service of the heart means you focus your mind. Ramban says, it's practically impossible to focus your mind. You only focus your mind when you need to, which is when you're really in difficulty. That's when prayer really sprouts out of a person. Okay, let's move on to Chassidei Ashkenaz. This is interesting because the Tur brings down in the 13th century, I think it was, before that, for the beginning of the millennia. Beginning of the second millennia, you had the Jews from Italy moved to Germany. It's interesting. I can't remember who the king was at that time. Something the Fat. He was called the Fat Guy. He was the Fat. I don't know, something the Fat. Frederick the Fat, something like that. He had this great idea to improve the economy of Germany. Let's bring Jews in. Who's going to improve the economy? Who's good at economics? Jews. So where are the Jews? Jews in Italy, because the Romans brought the Jews, and they put them in Italy and Spain, other places. So he said, let's bring some Jews from Italy. So he brought some Italian families over to Germany, and that's how Jews settled in Germany. And the early Jews in Germany became known as Chassidei Ashkenaz. They're very, very pious. They became known as the pious ones. That's what Chassidei means, pious. They were very pious. The pious ones, and they were mystics. They were Kabbalists. Sefer Chassidim, the book of the right of the pious, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. They meticulously studied each word of the Shmoneh Esrei. No word is superfluous. They worked on each single word of the Shmoneh Esrei and the significance of each word. Rav Chaim Voloshin, Nefesh HaChaim, also writes, the leaders of the Great Assembly who wrote the text of the Amidah in the time, the times between the destruction of the First Temple and the Second Temple was built. Leaders of the Great Assembly. They wrote the words of the Shmoneh Esrei. 120 scholars. Some of them were prophets as well. What these people achieved can never be duplicated. They invested every single word with the power to affect all of creation. Hear this. When you pray, every single word can affect the whole of creation. Powerful. Moreover, the effect of every word never remains the same. Why? Because every time you pray, you have different emphasis on certain things. And therefore, every time you pray, you're affecting the cosmos in a different way. The impact of the evening prayer is not the same as the impact of the prayer offered on the previous morning. The leaders of the Great Assembly composed the words of the prayer thousands of years ago. From that time until the advent of the Messiah, millions and millions of prayers will be uttered, and no two prayers will be alike. So amazing. Imagine when you're praying, it's like playing music. Every time the person plays the piano, it's very hard to play the piano exactly the same way. Depends on the mood of the person playing. It's very hard to keep that mood the same. Sometimes the person is ecstatic, is playing the piano a different way. Sometimes it's sad. So everything pervades the music. Same thing when a person prays. It's impossible to pray the same way twice. The same person, even the same problems, will never say the same prayers twice in the same way. So amazing how prayer really has an infinite power and unlimited effect, and it's a range of the effects. So a person, since we cannot fathom the bottom line of prayer, a person should pray with pure and simple intent. This is the Rav Chaim Voloshin, who was one of the big Kabbalists. So just pray with a simple intent, like a simple person praying to the Master. Hashem, please answer me, so and so. As a person pronounces each word, he should picture in his mind a mental image of the actual word as it is written. This is very hard. Obviously, you have to know Hebrew. You have to know how the letters look like. And try and shape the letters in your mind when you're saying each word. But you should focus on raising the words heavenwards. See the words going up to heaven. One who prays in this fashion will surely make an impact on every word they utter. Imagine. Every word you say, Baruch, Bet Reish Vav Chaf. Imagine in your mind and then thinking it's going up. Ata, Aleph Taf Hey, going up. Hashem, Yikev Avke. Amazing. Guaranteed. This is guaranteed. This is Rav Chaim Voloshin. The Talmud says, in Brachot 30b. The early pious ones will meditate for a full hour before they recite the Shemoneh Esrei. And they'll spend 1 hour of 60 minutes reciting the prayers. So, can you imagine? So, 500 words in the Shemoneh Esrei, approximately 7 seconds for each word. If you say 7 seconds each word, you'll take an hour to pray. 7 seconds each word is not such a great, think about it, as per word. 7 seconds on a word. What does that tell us? I was timing us today, this morning, we took 6 minutes to pray Shemoneh Esrei. It's not bad. 6 minutes is a tenth of what it should take. Not bad, it's not just 10 times more and you'd be fine. But with focus, it's hard to focus. So slowly, deliberately, they focus every word, they've thought of the word in their mind, they sent it up. It's like typing it out in their mind. You type out each word in the mind and send it up. Press the send button. Every word, press the send button, yes.
How many words?
500. Not exactly. Approximately 500 words per minute. So there's 3,600 seconds. Work it out. Right? 500 into 3,600. Six or seven?
7 seconds.
7 seconds. Okay, good. 7 seconds, yeah. 7 seconds in each word. 7 seconds each word is not that much. Think about it. You have to really think about each word 7 seconds and you pray for 1 hour, can you imagine? God wears a glorious wreath woven of the prayers of Israel. Each word of prayer uttered with pure intent is a precious gem which God uses to adorn this crown. Amazing. Whenever a person prays with intent, his words attract one of these lost sparks in the world and propel it heavenward to have brilliance and sparkle to God's crown. Obviously, this is a nice way of imagining it. Obviously, don't take it literally. It serves as a key to a heavenly vault of blessing. Ah, this is more like it. When you pray, you're releasing the opening the key to a vault of blessing into the world that's coming down. And one of the ways that God gets delighted is when a person prays to Him. So prayer and joy are natural companions when a person prays. It raises their hearts. And the truth is we've lost the music of prayer. Because prayers are surrounded with psalms. And the psalms came with music. And that's the thing that uplifts the person. That's why a good chazan is very good at uplifting the soul. That's why when a person prays with a tune, it's different when a person prays with no tunes. That's why Shabbat prayers are much better. Why? Hopefully you have a chazan, they're praying with a tune, everyone's singing. Singing the prayers is much better than just saying the prayers. To raise the person. And especially the prayer of Shema Kolenu. Hear our voices. Divine ecstasy should come during the Shemoneh Esrei, especially in the prayer of Shema Kolenu. Hear our voices. Beautiful. Okay. Okay, I'm going to stop here. And next week we have the epilogue of the book, Ezra Hashem. Thank you.